radius. Brother Wicks went to Plattsmouth, Nebraska 17 years ago with a building and three senior citizens, and now has built that church. They are full. I preached there a year ago on a Sunday morning. It was jam-packed. They had to have a teen church out of necessity to make more room in the auditorium. He's just won some folks of the Lord, won folks of the Lord, and got them in and built the church. And God has blessed him. He's a good man. He's got a good family, and I'm glad he's here to preach to you tonight. I'm glad for him that he could preach to our church and meet our folks, and I'm glad that you can hear him preach tonight. First time I've ever heard him preach tonight as well. I'm looking forward to it. We have some ladies that are going to sing. So, ladies, you come on at this time, and we'll enjoy the music of the song. And then after they're done, you give your undivided attention to Brother Raymond Wicks tonight. First Baptist Church, Plattsmouth, Nebraska. We're glad that he's here. You ladies, bless us with us.
Good to be here tonight. I appreciate Brother Angel asking me to speak. In fact, I feel kind of bad because when he asked me to speak, he was planning on being out of town. And then he's here, and I feel like, you know, well, that's a bad deal. Now he has to hear me even, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a bad situation for him. I feel bad. Well, we're glad to come to this church. And I want you to take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 13. We'll be there in just a few minutes here. Acts chapter 13. I noticed several faces that are familiar here from different exposure, from some current friends and some long-term friends. We have known the Gardners, for example, for, I suppose, 25 to or plus years, I suppose. Susan Gardner taught up in Minnesota at the little church up there in Oakland, Minnesota for us years ago when she first graduated from Hiles Anderson College. And Brother Larson's been through and preached for us and did a good job there. We appreciate you folks and what you're doing there. And we just got a lot of acquaintances here, it seems like. We have, of course, the Blanchettes. Emily Blanchett Deal now works with us out there. Brother Deal is one of our assistant pastors. He runs our school and has responsibility with music and different things. And so Emily's a real important part of our church and the support of her husband. They're expecting their third child now, so that's exciting. But the Blanchettes have been a blessing to us, not only in their life, but also through, of course, their daughter. And just many folks here that we certainly appreciate. We look over here and see Amy, and she's been a blessing for many years. Boy, you should have seen her when she was 10. You should have seen that little thing. You think she's skinny now. I'm telling you, 10-year-old. Well, but we do have... I was hoping she'd have gotten a good old bulky Nebraska boy there, but she ended up with Brett. I guess that'll be all right. You'll have that, you know. You know, we do come from Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and, you know, Nebraska is known for kind of a, you know, rural type of a place. And so I got a letter here that was written from a farm kid, and now this farm kid is in the Marine Corps, and I want you to listen in to hear what type of folks we deal with out there. It says, "Dear Ma and Pa, I am well. Hope you are too. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer that the Marine Corps beats working for that old man Minch by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before all the places are filled. I was restless at first because you got to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. But I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walt and Elmer all you do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine some things. No hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay. Practically nothing. Men got to shave, but it's not so bad. There's warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice, cereal, eggs, bacon. But kind of weak on chops, potatoes, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pie. Other regular food. But tell Walt and Elmer, you can always sit by those two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you over till noon when you get fed again. It's no wonder those city boys can't march, can't walk much. We go on route marches, that's what they call them, which the platoon sergeant says are long walks to harden us. If he thinks so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is as far as about to our mailbox and back at home. Those city guys get sore feet and they all have to ride back in trucks, it seemed like. The country is nice, but awful flat. The sergeant is like a school teacher. He nags a lot. The captain is like the school board. Majors and colonels just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. This next thing will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is near as big as a chipmunk head and it don't move. And it ain't shooting at you like those Higgard boys at home. All you got to do is lie there, all comfortable, and hit it. You don't even have to load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Then we have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful with them, though. They break real easy. It ain't like fighting that old bull at home. I guess about the best they ever got there is Tug Jordan. He's from over at Silver Lake. I only beat him once. He joined up the same time, but he's 6'8", nearly 300 pounds dry. Well, be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry and join up before other fellows get in onto this setup and get stampeding on in. Your loving daughter, Alice. I guess. Well, we do appreciate your pastor. He's been a blessing to our church. He's been out there for a couples retreat that we had and spoke in our church, and we sure appreciate him. Boy, I tell you what, you couldn't have done much better than this guy. I'm serious. That's the truth. You really ought to appreciate your pastor. Great, great man. and humble and just has a walk with God. I really believe that. He's a great man. Good pastor. You don't find a good pastor very often. And he's a good pastor. He's got a good family and so forth. I do appreciate the invitation. Beautiful motel room and everything. And what a blessing it is to come here and be with you folks. I want to have a helpful message. I hope it'll be a help here. The thought was a help to me. When I finally grasped it, it was a help to me. And I hope it can be a help to you. I want you to look at one verse in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36. It's a familiar verse. You've seen it before. But I want you to notice what especially it says in the first part of the verse. I'm in Acts chapter 13 and then in verse 36. The Bible says this, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Now, the first part of that verse is what I want you to notice. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. I think we have a big responsibility if we're going to follow in David's footsteps. He served his own generation. We have a lot of young people sitting here. Do you realize you have a responsibility, young people? You young boys, you young girls, you have a responsibility to serve your generation. We have some middle class, that too, middle-aged folks here. And we have a responsibility to reach our middle-aged folks, our generation. We have a responsibility, you senior citizens, to reach your generation. David, after he served his own generation by the will of God. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a tall order, though, when you think about it. They say approximately 6.5 billion, Brother Larson probably knows the statistics better, approximately 6.5 billion people live in this world that we live in. That's a tall order. If we're going to do something to reach this generation, I'll tell you what, that seems like almost an impossible task. The first time I realized, see, I came from Austin, Minnesota, right outside of Austin, lived on a farm, grew up and farmed there for many years. Actually farmed when we got married, and then God called me to preach and went to Bible college after that. But I had never really been much out of the local Austin, Minnesota area. When I was a teenager, we took a trip down south, and I remember going through Kansas City, Missouri, and I got to thinking to myself, it was at night, and all these lights, and I thought, how many people live here? I remember the thought as if it was just yesterday. It was just like, how many folks must live here? I saw these lights, and I thought, wow, this goes on and on and on and on and on. Look at all these people. My family and I took a trip out east here a few years ago. And, of course, we've been in some of the big cities like Chicago. And we went out to Washington, D.C. and through some of the cities, the big cities out east. And we spent time in New York City. And, again, as you think about the masses of people, unbelievable masses of people. And if this is my generation, this is my responsibility? Well, that's kind of what it seems like. My sister lives in Norway, and I took a trip over to see my sister, and you know, we're flying over big cities, and then we land, and just, again, a whole other group of people over in Europe. And Europe is not that populated compared to places like India and China and other places like that. And I'm thinking about, I've got to serve my own generation here. I've got to somehow reach my generation. I've got to somehow have responsibility through the will of God with my generation. It's a tall order, folks. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's absolutely overwhelming. You may say, I can't influence the world. Well, I say, I think you can. You say, well, you don't understand who I am. It really doesn't matter. If Dennis Rodman is your father and Madonna is your mother, you still can influence the world. I'm telling you, if Dick Cheney is your hunting partner and Barney Fife is your bodyguard and Dr. Kevorkian is your attending physician, I'm still telling you, you can still make a difference. But how are you and I going to make a difference to influence the world? How can we serve our generation? How can we influence the world? I'll tell you what, we may have a hard time trying to understand to influence the world, but what we can do, listen to this, we can influence our world. We can influence our world. Now see, my world is Gene Wicks, Elizabeth, Joseph, Jonathan, Jesse, Catherine, Caitlin Wicks. That's my world. My world is Brother Marks, Frank Lees, Matt Long, all the Longs that go along with Matt Long. My world is Plattsmouth State Bank. My world is Stan's Bakery It looks like I've been there a few times, doesn't it? All right. I spent an hour this week talking to the owner of Stan's Bakery. Mario is the guy that runs it now. Out with his wife and him and his daughter. Tried to win him to Christ. Why? Because that's my world. See, my world is Linder Western Auto. My world is there, the Plumitas of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and those people that live in that area. That's my world. Yeah, it doesn't seem like much to some people, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. That's my world. That's the place. So we've got to somehow get to the point of understanding God's placement in our lives. God's got a job and a place for each of us. Brother Larson's got his world. You've got your world. I've got my world. Now, I'll tell you what. David served his own generation by the will of God. Now, David, we could ask the question, did David influence the world? We'd all agree, yes. Did not David in the Bible influence the world? He did. Okay, but how did he influence the world? Think about this now. He influenced the world by influencing his world. That's exactly how he influenced the world, was by influencing his world. When Samuel came to Jesse's house, Jesse being David's father, when Samuel came to Jesse's house ready to anoint the new king, Saul was going to be taken off the scene, a new king was coming on the scene, all the brothers lined up, all of Jesse's sons, minus David, lined up waiting for the job. But they weren't the ones to be chosen. Where was David? I'll tell you where David was. David was out influencing his world. That's what he was doing. What was David doing at this time? He was out taking care of the sheep. That's what he was doing. What was he doing? He was out killing a bear. That's what he was doing. He was out killing a lion. He was watching over those little sheep out there because that was his world at the time. And people could criticize him all they want about taking care of his world, but that's exactly, don't forget it, that that's what he used to convince Saul that he could actually kill David, kill Goliath, because he had the ability, first of all, to kill a lion and a bear. Just before David killed Goliath and influenced the world with that, what was he doing? He was on a simple errand for his father. That's exactly what he was doing. Take these crackers and this cheese out to see how the battle's doing and give it to your brothers and get a report back. He was simply obeying exactly what his dad had told him to do. He didn't set out that day to influence the world. But he got there and he said, wait a minute, I've got an opportunity here to do something for God by the will of God. I'm going to go out there and knock that guy's block off. And he did it basically because he was just taking care of his world. He left the carriage, by the way, in the hand of the keeper. Let's not forget about that. He left the sheep there with the keeper of the sheep. He was just influencing his world by being responsible, doing the little things that you and I sometimes take for granted. As he practiced and as he played that harp, did he plan on playing for a king someday? Think about it. I love to have instruments in church. Elizabeth came back from college this last year, my daughter. She started 27 new instruments in our Christian school. I'm glad about that. I'm excited about the future orchestra that we're going to have because we're getting some young people there. But and so keep practicing, kids. You may someday play for a king. You may someday have some cycle that you're going to be able to help with your music to calm him down like David did with the King Saul. But when he set out, who was he playing for? Think about it. He's playing for his world, the sheep. that was his audience. He wasn't interested or worried about influencing the world. He was simply interested in influencing his world. I'll tell you what, later on he gathered together that crowd. Everybody that the world wasn't interested in, he gathered them together. Everybody that was in debt and discontent and distressed, and he gathered them together and made a mighty army out of that group. He wasn't expecting to influence the world, but certainly he did. Now, I'm just not necessarily asking us to worry right now about influencing the world. But I want to take it and put it down right now where we actually live. And I'm asking you tonight, consider strongly influencing your world. That's where it really comes down to. Influence your world. I'll ask you, is your world a better place because you are there? Think about it. I don't really have a theme for our church. We have a logo and we thought about having a theme, but there's one thing I like to maybe consider. It's making it better. Making it better. First Baptist Church, making it better. Because I want to have a better community because First Baptist Church is there. Your world may be the house where you live, where you prepare your meals, where you do your laundry, where you take care of the needs of your family. Is your world a better place because you're there? Don't forget, Mom, you've got a big job. Don't forget, housewife, you've got a big job. Is it a better place because you're there? Maybe for you fellows, it's a shop where you work on things, you fix things, build things. Maybe it's an office. Maybe it's the neighborhood where you live. Maybe it's an office complex where you work. Maybe it's a small house where you live, or maybe a larger community which you live a part of, or maybe it's a dormitory room. Maybe it's the pew where you sit. Maybe it's the pew where you sleep. I don't know. Maybe it's the Sunday school class that you teach. Maybe it's the bus route that you run. Maybe it's the nursery that you keep. Your world I'm talking about. I mentioned recently, those of you that work in the nursery, as you're feeding those babies, changing those babies, rocking those babies to sleep, pray that God will give them a sensitive heart towards God. Pray that God will help to have many opportunities to be saved. Pray that God will give them a tender heart towards their parents. Pray that God will use them in their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might make the world of difference. That prayer right there for that child might make a world of difference. Oh, I've got to work in the nursery tonight. Oh, don't look at it that way, ladies. That's your world. That's a world that you've been given. You know, when I first went to Plattsmouth, Nebraska, I preached there. There were 7 members there. They voted 4-3 not to have me come back. This is a true story. It is a true story. I know I'm, you know, but that bad, that's terrible. And then the strange thing was they never called me to tell me what the vote was. And I never even called back to find out what the vote was because I was not interested in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. I drove in. You got this big Masonic lodge there, and the Masons seem like they're all over the place. I'm not, you know, whatever. Just the church. They said they had affiliates to GRBC, and I said that's really not what I'm looking for. I came from a GRBC church. That's not really what I'm looking for. And I just no. But then in God's providence, several months later, they called me back and apologized for not calling, telling me what the vote was. I said that's fine. I didn't care anyway. And then they asked me to come back to candidate. Went back to candidate and got that powerful vote there. 4 people showed up for the vote that time, the second time around, and 3 of them wanted me, and then the one just went along with it, never has come to church. But that became my world because that's where God placed me. So what am I going to do with it? I've got to decide what I'm going to do with it then. Yeah, I could sit there and mope like some of our 2- and 3-year-old workers might do in some of these departments. I've got to do this. Go do this. Or you could actually do something with your world. You could make something of that bus route that doesn't seem to be doing so well if you wanted to. You could do something with that Sunday school class if you wanted to. You could make something of it. Your world may be the greeting as the people come into the church. Your world may be the usher station. Your world may be the choir seat. Oh, there are several different possibilities where your world can be. Daisy Hawes, H-A-W-E-S, was a Sunday school teacher of teenage boys in Louisville, Kentucky. A teenage boy named Lee Robertson walked into her Sunday school class that morning. She didn't know that day that she was going to influence the world. But as Lee Robertson, with his own testimony, would say, I was led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher named Daisy Hawes, H-A-W-E-S. Always spells it after he says it. H-A-W-E-S, Daisy Hawes. Don't want you to forget her. Daisy Hawes led me to Christ, a Sunday school teacher. She didn't set out to influence the world that day, but she just was trying to influence her world. Mr. Kimball, the Sunday school teacher in Boston, Massachusetts, was out soul winning one day, went to the shoe store where a young man worked. He paced back and forth to decide if he was going to go in and talk to D.L. Moody. And he did finally get the courage up to go talk to that young man, D.L. Moody. A faithful Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, did not know that he was going to influence the world that day. He was just simply trying to influence his world. The beginner superintendent teacher at Fernwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, did not know when she went to Sunday school one morning that a barefoot boy would come to Sunday school all scared because he watched other kids come in. They all had shoes on. He didn't have any shoes on. She said as she put him on her knee, "Do you know that Jesus loves you?" He looked up at her and says, does he love me as much as those children that have shoes on? And the Sunday school teacher wisely made a comment back. He may even love you more. She didn't know that day that she was going to influence a young Jackie Boy Hiles who would become a pastor that would influence our Christianity in our day in a tremendous way. Didn't realize it at that time who she had sitting on her knee. Who do you have in your Sunday school class? Who do you have on your bus route? You don't know. I don't know. Will not know, perhaps, for years. I ask again, is your world a better place because of you? Is it a cleaner world? Is it a more godly world? Is it a more helpful world? Is it a more fair world? Is it a more just world? Is it a more compassionate world? Is it a more pleasant world? Is it a more kind world? Are more people being saved? Is it a spiritual world? What kind of a world are you living in? And are you influencing your world? You can if you want to. Influence your world. Oh yes, influence your world if you can, but influence the world if you can, but certainly influence your world. I'll give a couple of statements, and I've got some words I want to give you. If you want to write them down a little bit, I'll give those words in a moment. The first statement is this. The world is made up of our worlds. It really is. The world is made up of our worlds. When it comes right down to it, you got your world here in Illinois. I've got my world in Nebraska. Brother Larson's got his world in the mission field. We've all got our different world, and the world is made up of our worlds. Now, I know where Brother Sigstead came from. You know where Brother Sigstead came from? We think some of you know Brother Sigstead, missionary. You know where he came from? He came from Oakland, Minnesota. Oakland, Minnesota, population of less than 150. He was my youth director. I knew him when he got saved. I knew his wife when she still likes to be a grease monkey. She'd be out there working with her brothers and her sisters out there in the. I knew where they grew up. I knew the house I could take you to the place they grew up. Where'd the great Sigsteads come from? I'll tell you where. They came from just a little podunk place, but there was a pastor named Pastor Ron Royalty that decided to go to Oakland, Minnesota and influence those people there. And Marty, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Marty came from that church out there, Ron Royalty's church now in Ohio. He's since moved to Ohio, was the pastor there in Minnesota, though, at the time. We've all got our individual worlds. Number two, statement two, you'll never have an opportunity to make a difference in the world until you perhaps have made a difference in your world. You're all worried about, well, when can I make my big scene? Stop worrying about making a big scene in the world. Stop politicking for some position or some title or some opportunity. Just do your job. Just do your job. Third, a person is not qualified to work on the world until he has worked on and made a better place of his world. Yeah. David, how did he do it? He served his own generation by the will of God. He got serious about the will of God. It wasn't so much about the where, it was just the what. You know, kindness is still in the world. It's still in the Bible, no matter where, what world you're in. Right? Decency is still in the Bible, no matter what world you're living in. Some of you are trying to figure out where you should move to. What you should do. No, just stay put and do right in your world. Unless God definitely does something different. But it's more important what than the where. You can still influence that family. I heard of a good spring program idea. Somebody said it was something about influencing families and influence, but it was more specific, influence your neighbors. I wonder if we're to take a poll here of how many of your neighbors you have actually dealt with spiritually. When I left Minnesota, I was farmed up there. Pastor Royalty left a few months before I did to go out to Ohio. And we had a soul winning program, but you know how it is when pastors aren't there, nobody shows up. But I decided to do something before I left to go to Ohio Anderson College. For several months, on every Thursday night, I'd go out and I'd go to all my neighbors. I'm talking about a 4-mile radius around my house. You know, farms, it's not like it's, you know. And I just decided I'm going to try and influence my world. They're my responsibility. I moved out to Plattsmouth, Nebraska out there. I've got a responsibility out there. I've talked to my neighbors. I feel like that's my responsibility. You know, out of that, some of us are always looking for good church members. You know what happened out of that? I've led some to the Lord, but there's one that's kind of neat. I led him to the Lord, and now he's faithful, he and his family, in church. He owns Choice Electric, Jerry Slafter. He was my neighbor. How did I come across him? I just, there he was, in my neighborhood. We've got to start thinking that way. Now, you have a lot of children here, a lot of young people. This is your world. You better do something with these children. One of the dangers that's happening in fundamental Christianity is children, teenagers are leaving the ranks. They're not faithful. I just say if we keep this crowd all in church here over the next 30, 40, 50 years, God could do something with this crowd. So here's the thing. I want to give you seven words. As you're trying to influence your world, here's what they need. I want to give you seven words. You can write these down if you want to. This is what you need to think about when you're influencing your world. I'm talking about the people in your area, your neighbors, the missionaries that come through. By the way, missionaries that come through, they became part of your world, didn't they? Brother Larson at some point came part of your world. And so you try to be a help to him to be able to influence the world. You see how that all works? Okay, I want to give you seven words. Here's what people need. Here's what your neighbor needs. Here's what your coworker. By the way, I believe it as much as anything. We do door-to-door soul winning. I have souls saved. We have people sitting in church there, people that got saved. There's no question I believe in that. I also believe in just influencing everybody you can. I was going to the country store there in Plattsmouth. It was called Wheeler's General Store, I think it was called at the time. And there was this redheaded gal that worked in there, and we talked and we got acquainted there, and we talk about church. I invite her to church, and she was going somewhere else, but she wasn't really happy. And I told her, why don't you come over here? And she had two little girls at the time, and she said, okay. Finally, she just got fed up, and she said, I'm going to come to that church. You've invited me, and there's another fellow from your church, Lee Glenn, one of my three. He's been bothering me to come to church. So finally she does. Her name was Diana. Diana comes, brings her two little skinny girls. Diana's husband wasn't saved. Todd, Amy's dad, was an atheist, he claimed. He didn't want anything to do with it. Okay, I'll let the girls go to church. By the way, you got saved there at First Baptist Church, didn't you? But Todd, see, he was an atheist. He didn't believe in all that stuff. And you know, it was one step at a time, though. And finally, Todd got saved. And Todd's a faithful. He teaches our adult auditorium Sunday school class now. How'd that happen? Did I go looking for some family? No, I just, that was my world. You know what I'm saying? We've got to, and I'm telling you, you're going to need these. First of all, let me give you the first word, and you'll understand where I'm going with this, okay? First word is what people need. They need attention. You drive by a lot of prospects on your night out soul winning. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't drive by if God's leading you a certain place. We do that too. But I'm still saying this. People need attention. Do you even know who your neighbors are? What about those coworkers that you work with? You know, I believe one of the great areas that you could influence people is just those people you work with. I believe that. When I was in secular work, I worked for True Green. I was the first employee that housed Anderson students. I was the first housed Anderson student to ever work for True Green. In fact, the guy that hired me is now the president of True Green. And that's way back. But the thing is, when I was working that secular job, we had a desire to try and reach people there, some of the housed Anderson guys that we hired. And we decided to have a Bible study at my house for the co-workers of the church, of the True Green. That's what I meant to say. Well, two guys showed up, plus a few House Anderson guys. But two secular guys showed up. One was Jack, and the other guy's name was Paul. Paul graduated from Purdue University. He was the marketing manager at True Green at that time. Now, Jack got saved that night, but Paul got right that night. Can I tell you where Paul's at now? Paul is the Christian school administrator for Rick Finley down in Durham, North Carolina. Boy, I'll see him at pastor school, and I love it every time I see him because I know where he came from. I think back about how many of the folks got saved and baptized at First Baptist Church, my coworkers I'm talking about. Now, I'm not here to set the world on fire. It's probably not going to happen. You're not going to hear Raymond Wicks and the, you know, whatever. That's not going to happen. I'm not concerned about that. But what I'm concerned about is just my world. Are you getting this? This fellow that sits over here, Frank Lees. I'm so proud of Frank. Frank is a fellow that was up at Offutt Air Force Base, and we have a ministry there to college and career people. We've got a great man, Mike Parrish, that works with the college and career fellows, and he and his wife have the fellows over for meals after church and so forth, and just really takes good care and loves these folks. Well, if there's a place that I'd have a heart to do something about for missions, and I've got a heart maybe a little bit bigger than what you're thinking, but India is a place that I would just really have a heart for. Those people are so sweet. And I suppose the whole world, everybody needs the gospel. But here, Frank came to our church, and he's had his, you know, early moments when we talked, and he'd come to my office and we talked, and he'd grow a little bit. And then he realized that God has called him to India. Boy, what a thrill to my heart when I found out that one of ours is going to India. Wow. We're going to influence the world, Brother Angel. We're going to do it. But how are we going to do it? I'll tell you, first thing you do, you get some attention on folks. You got to have some attention. Look up when you walk. You know? Pay attention to people. You have a whole church full of little kids. You know these little kids are important? They are. Look at them. Notice them. Notice the individuals in your life. Notice those people that you work with. One of the reasons why I spent almost an hour with Mario at Stan's Bakery that day is because I watched him. I was in the parking lot of another store and I watched him, and I felt like my heart was, I said, I've never witnessed to Mario. And I better do it. And he looks like he needs me right now. That's how God did that. But we've got to watch. We've got to look. We've got to keep attention. This is what people need. They need attention. By the way, you get so busy with your life, you better be careful, because those kids are going to need attention. We just came from Marion Avenue. Our boys won the basketball. Our girls won the volleyball. Praise the Lord about that. Huh? But even though I hate your basketball team, but that's okay. They beat us here one time. But I'll tell you we totaled this up. Last year we drove 4,000 miles to watch my sons play basketball. This year, 4,500 miles. In Nebraska, there's nobody there to play. So we got to drive. That's true. Find good Christian schools in Nebraska to play, or Christian church teams. You can't find them. So we got to drive all over the place. But you know what? I had an opportunity to go to India to preach in the fall, but I didn't go. Why? Jesse had a basketball game that night. And I want my boys to know, when there's a ball game, I'm going to be there giving them attention. I'm going to be there. Now, don't get so busy now. You'll lose these little kids here if you don't watch out. You better pay attention to what's going on in their life. You better know what's going on, what's important to them. We lose these next kids, and I'll tell you what, we lost the whole crop. We better be careful. Attention, number two, the word acceptance. Write that word down if you're taking notes. Acceptance. People have got to feel a sense of acceptance. And here's what happens. You get saved and you're up here, and then you start getting standards. I mean, you're really something now. I mean, you're growing in the Lord and everything's just wonderful. And now you're down here. And now you can't stand anybody. You know what I'm talking about. You're so spiritual now that you can't walk in a room hardly without, you know, dusting off the, you know what I'm trying to say. You know I'm not much of a speaker, amen. But what we got to do is we got to go past that. Okay, yes, I'm glad you got your standards. I'm glad you got your holy life. But now let's get some acceptance. Hey, if you really want to be Christ-like, think about this. What did Jesus say to Peter there? John chapter 13, you read the story. He says, I love you even after I know you. I know what you're going to do. Yeah, I know what you're going to do. You're going to cuss. You're going to deny me. But here's what we're going to do, Peter. We got a plan for your life. It was a sense of acceptance there, even though he knew he wasn't perfect. If I were to break out, and I don't know if I have any today. Let me look and see if I've got some money here. Let's see here. Let's just say this $10 bill. If I was to break this $10 bill and ask some of you kids, maybe even some of you adults, who would want this $10 bill? What would you say? Pick me? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, wait, how about now? Huh? Huh? Huh?
What do you think of that? Huh?
Now who wants it? Now who wants it? Well, hey, hold on a minute here now. That's just a goofy illustration, but simply is this. You realize sometimes people's lives aren't always perfect. They've been trampled on a little bit too, haven't they? They've got their issues too, don't they? They've got their dirt, I suppose, on them too. But why don't we want them as much as we want this? You better get some acceptance or you're not going to do much ministry. Number three, affirmation. A-F-F-I-R-A-M-T-I-O-N, I think. Affirmation. You've got to somehow let people know that they're on the right path in some area of their life. You've got to somehow get across to them that you think they're doing well in some area. I've watched people, I've watched leaders. Good leaders know how to somehow find something good about the situation and affirm that you're doing okay here. Even though you're doing terrible in all these areas here, you're doing one area well over here. You get these kids, they'll come in with their punk earrings and their little fag tags and all that kind of stuff. Well, you've seen them, haven't you? And they come into church and some of you Pharisees say, what are they doing here? You better be careful there, George. Yeah. You better look at them and say, boy, it's good to see you today. I'm so glad you're in church today. That's exciting. You brought a Bible? That's great. Wow, that's wonderful. You better find something where you can accept them where they're at and actually have them know that you're for them just the way they are. You know, if you understand how this all works here, folks, ministry is like this. This changes people. All right? You get them exposed to this and they'll change. But the problem is we got them so alienated the first time they come. Think about it now. Affirmation. Yeah. Nobody can take a constant rebuke, constant criticism. If your pastor got up here every Sunday and just ripped on you folks, you're no good, you're wicked. And by the way, you're no good, you're wicked. There's no doubt about it. And I know because you're just like my church. We're just human beings, amen? All right? But you can't handle that every week. We'd all walk out and say, you go ahead and pay for that building on your own, brother. No more yard marks for you, man. Affirmation. Number next, appreciation. Here's what people need. They need appreciation. Now, I'm talking about folks that you work with. I'm talking about your wife. I'm talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about the people in church. They need appreciation. That they are important and what they do is appreciated. You know, if you work for someone, one of the best ways to keep your job is tell your boss how glad you are to have your job. Just tell them, I sure appreciate working for you. They got five other people under their breath saying that blankety blank. Blah, blah, blah. But you're the Christian. And by the way, it was also one of the managers at True Green that called me and said, I just got saved. Why? Because appreciation of other Howes Anderson College students as we work with them. Yeah. Let me give you another word. I'll go quickly here. You probably got out at 7 o'clock, didn't you? Sorry. How about this one here? Association. Association. People need to know who they are and where they fit in. They need to know that. They need to know what they are and who they are and how they fit in. Now, see, if you ever go to a basketball or a volleyball game when Plattsmouth shows up, First Baptist Church of Plattsmouth, you'll hear this, FBC, FBC, and you'll just hear it all over the place. And you really ought to get used to that, folks. It's all right. But I'll tell you what, FBC Lions, we're not ashamed of it. We're thankful for it. I could even use the word proud in the right sense because it gives our kids association. We're FBC Lions, First Baptist Church, Plattsmouth, Nebraska. I promise you, you won't find a church that's got more spirit than our church. Our teenagers, I'm talking about. Now, I'm not trying to criticize any other church. I'm just telling you, Reno Likens came to our church. He said, I've used your church all across the country. Those kids have got enthusiasm at that church. Why? I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Because they belong. And we make them. Let me help you young people with something here. If you just want your four and no more, you can have that. But if you want to ever influence your world, you better have a little bit of bringing in the folks. I'm talking about the geeks. We have a boy, he's a senior. He started on our basketball team this year. 2 years ago, he could hardly dribble and chew gum and walk at the same time. Jerry's kids, you know what I'm saying? And he came in, and, you know, the bottom line is, the world was eating him up. He'd have been involved in all kinds of drugs and problems by the time he was 17, 18 years old. He's now 18, he's going to graduate from our school, we think. We're thinking he is. But I'll tell you what, he wouldn't have made it if our boys would have said, come on, Jeff, come be one of us. And now he's out there, FBC, I'm a lion, man. He's a starter on our basketball team. Yeah, people need that. They need to know who they are and where they fit in. You know, that's why gangs are so popular. Because they get to fit into something. They get to belong to something. Well, if it's important to have people feel that feeling of belonging, let's have it the church. Let's have it the Christian school. Let's have this idea. We're for each other here, bless God. Come on in. Join us. Come on. How about this one here? Assistance. You know what ministry really is? You could put it all on one page right here. Ministry is simply this. Find a person's greatest need and help them with it. That's ministry. That's ministry. Find a person's greatest need and help them with it. I was at my office at True Green over at Highland, Indiana several years ago. I was there early on a Saturday morning, and our service manager came early that day, and he came into my office with his head kind of down. And he said, Raymond, he said, could I talk to you? I said, sure, Mark. And he said, come on in, have a seat. He came to my office and he told me that he was having problems with his marriage. I said, you know, Mark, I think I can help you with that. And I was just a Bible college student at the time. I made an appointment that night with he and his wife. And my wife and I got together with them, and Mark got saved. Kathy got saved. They came with us that next Sunday to First Baptist Church and got baptized. You know, find a person's greatest need. His greatest need at that time was he had marriage problems. And he needed to be saved. I'll tell you what, just look for people's greatest need. We used to enjoy the times when the farmers would go around and help each other. You know, I remember the neighbor, we'd be up shingling a chicken house or something. Neighbor would drive by, see a shingling, he'd pull over and help finish the shingling job. That's just how it was. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians were like that today? You see someone's got a need, some mother that has a need for somebody to watch her kids. I'm not even talking about necessarily your saved friends, that group of people that you only can run with. I'm talking about helping somebody else. I'm talking about influencing your world is what I'm talking about. And then the last word I want to give you is advice. And by the way, advice is usually only good after you've done several of those first six that I just gave you. After you've given them some attention, some acceptance, some affirmation, some appreciation, some association, assistance, then maybe you can give them some advice. You know, when your coworkers hear you talk about spiritual things, do they really clam up? Because all you want from them is them to pray the prayer. How about going a little further? Do you care about those folks? That's your world. You don't know who you got working with you there, but it's a soul that needs to be saved. I'll wrap this up by simply saying this. It starts within yourself. Make sure you're right first. You got to be sure you're saved. If you're going to influence the world for God, by the will of God, you got to start by being saved. You got to start by being right with God. Salvation. Make sure you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You get to be a member of a Bible-believing church like this one. If you're not and you're in this area, you should join this church. And then you start working from there out. You just keep working there out. I'm not saying only do that. You can still support Brother Larson as a missionary. You can still do all these things as you're growing. Don't expect to win all your neighbors, Lord, before you can support a missionary. You do it all at the same time, though. You keep working on it. Parents work on your kids. Grandparents, you work on your kids. Teenagers work on the other people around you. Children work on other people around you. And I'll tell you what will happen. When the eulogy is given, there you are, doing the Elvis impression. You get the idea. And they're saying words about you. They won't say much about how big of a house you lived in and how much money you had and how big the cars you had. But there'll be little children who said, that man influenced me, that lady influenced me. If you want to influence the world, try if you can, but tonight, let's just really concentrate right now on our world. Because if we do a good job, each of us, with our worlds, we're going to influence the world. Now, who's God put on your mind tonight as I've been talking? Who's the Holy Spirit been speaking to you about? Who's in your world that needs some attention? Who's in your world that needs some assistance? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that each of us have got someone in our mind right now that's in our world that needs to be influenced. I pray that we'll do a good job in our world. It's a tall order. I'm overwhelmed with the concept of trying to influence the world, God. But I'm thankful. It doesn't seem like I have to do that. David didn't try to set out to influence the world. He just simply set out to influence his world. Help us as parents. Help us as teenagers. Help us as grandparents. Help us as co-workers. Help us as Christians to be able to influence our world. If there's one that's come tonight that's not sure of their salvation, it starts right there. They need to be saved first. If there's other needs, baptism, church membership, speak to hearts now as we have this invitation time. But Lord, speak to the Christian about influencing his or her world. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what to do. Piano player will play, I believe. Stand together, please, if you will.
That's good. Let's use the altar. He put it down on the bottom shelf tonight. He talked about Christianity. Faith in action. Would you come? If you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you to come trust the Lord as your Savior. If you've been baptized in deep water, come along, Lord of Believers Baptism. Tell Brother Caleb I need to be baptized. What a great message. What a good message. Father, thank you for the practical, helpful message tonight. Lord, I pray we take it to heart. What a truth. May we start out tomorrow morning influencing our world where you've placed us providentially. God, we make big claims about what we believe, but when it comes down to really believing it by living it, I'm not sure we believe as much as we say we do. We're not where we are by accident. We're where we are by design. May we influence our world and let you take care of influencing the world. Thank you for the good message tonight, for the good preacher that brought it. Bless him, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen.